Well, God bless you guys. It's great to see you here this morning. And forgive me for my lack of faith in the congregation. I thought we were going to have an empty house today, but this is not bad for a Memorial Day weekend. But Jesus is here, and you are here, and we are grateful that God has allowed us to gather again. This has been a really interesting week for my family and I. Most of you, I think, have been praying for us to find a house, and God just worked an amazing miracle for us. And it's a temporary place. It's month to month, but it is just a gift from God that we have a place. That this is the first time that we've been able to unpack all of our things for several years, and we are just really excited what God is doing, and so. We've got that amazing blessing on one hand, and on the other hand, God is taking us through, or I should say taking me through a week that I began to recognize about halfway through. How many of you have ever had a moment where, or a significant issue in your life, a situation in your life where you knew you just felt this uneasiness that you were missing something? Has that ever happened? Like maybe you're forgetting something, or just like, what's going on here? This week I started to work on the message, or actually last week I knew that I was feeling a little uneasy about what I had planned for this week. How many of you have ever experienced God mess up your plans, okay? He does that sometimes. So I knew that he wanted to go a different direction, so I started studying and praying and just waiting on God to give me some confirmation on the direction that he wanted me to go. Nothing. I mean, nothing. So I was like, God, okay, what am I missing? And I started over on another topic, and I began to pray. I thought, okay, well, maybe this is it. Spent a couple of hours, and just was flat. Okay, I'm like, God, okay, this... clearly, you want to do something different. I mean, I have hundreds of sermons in, you know, for 20 years of ministry. You have a lot of resources that you can go to. And by the way, I don't use repeats. I want to study and pray every week. And the long and short of it is, I started looking at some of my old archives. God, is there something you want to do there? I've worked on 8 different messages for today. I promise you, I'm not going to preach all 8. I don't think I'm going to preach one. God's goodness has been so overwhelming to me this week. I'm praying, God, what do you want to do? What do you want to do for New Life Fellowship? I've prayed that prayer over and over and over again. Sometimes God doesn't answer your prayers right away. Sometimes he makes you wait. And Brittany called me on Friday and said, you know, Doug, do you have an overview for today? And I said, no, Brittany, I don't. And so the more I prayed, the more I sought the Lord. I was like, God, what is it? How do you want to minister to this congregation that you really, really love? And it became abundantly clear that he wasn't going to tell me. And this has happened. I told the 9/11 class this morning that this has happened maybe 8 or 10 times over the last 20 years for me. And the first 7 or 8 of them, it made me really, really nervous. I'm thinking, God, what's wrong? I mean, I sat down at my computer this week, and it was the spiritual version of writer's block, where I'm just staring at the computer, and I love to write, and ordinarily it comes very, very easily for me, and it just didn't. And I just, as the week went on, I felt more and more peace that the Lord was confirming, Doug, I am leading this. So last night, I said, God, is there anything? And he began to give me some scriptures. I don't have a single note. All I have is, as many of you have said before, I transpose scripture onto my iPad because I can make the font bigger and it's easier for me to read. So for those of you who think, yeah, he never opens his Bible, well, I do. It's just here on the screen where I can read it. And I'm going to get to that in a minute, but this morning, I'm a blockhead. Many of you said, well, yeah, we figured that out over the last couple of months, but God sometimes will bring you to the decision and to the place where he wants you to be, but he'll do it in his way so you'll realize at the end of it, it wasn't your idea. Does that make sense? When we were down there worshiping this morning, he said, today's all about freedom. And he said, Doug, the people of this church have gone through a rough season. He said, they've been in pain. It's been discouraging. It's been confusing. It's been frustrating. Many of them have been wounded. He said, I want to set them free. My tears are not sadness, man. They are overwhelming physical manifestations of just the peace and the mercy and the love and the grace and the profound goodness of God. I heard a preacher say a long time ago, tears are an outward sign of an inward brokenness. And we were talking about it in the class this morning. God draws close to those that are willing to be broken, willing to say, I can't do this without you, Jesus. So I'm going to read some scriptures. In Matthew chapter 11, verses 28 through 30, this is Jesus speaking. Matthew 11, 28 through 30. He said, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. And when I study, and I think I've said this to a few of you, some of you had asked, Doug, sometimes you'll read out of a newer translation, but a lot of times you'll read out of the King James Version. The only reason I do that, there's a lot of people that, man, if you don't read King James, then you're not spiritual. That's not me. The only reason I read the King James is I can really use that in alignment with the Strong's Concordance, and I can see what was originally intended when it was spoken. And so I study out of King James, so a lot of times you'll hear me read out of that. So if you're reading a newer translation, okay, no problem, okay? But I was reading through this, and it said, come unto me, all ye that labor. And it's a Greek word. Labor is a Greek word, kopiaho, and it means to feel fatigue or to be worried. I'm sorry, to feel fatigue or to be wearied, not worried, wearied. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. And that word laden or heavy laden means, is a word that's fortizo, and it means to be overburdened with ceremony and spiritual anxiety. And as I was reading this last night, and I was studying this last night, that's when he began to really deal with me and said, Doug, there's a spiritual and religious weariness that the people of New Life have been carrying for a long time now. And he said, I want to bring them rest. I want to bring them rest in me. I've had conversations with members of this church body that have clearly indicated to me, many of them, you've used those same terms and those same words. We're just tired. We're tired. We're tired. We don't really understand all of what God was doing. We don't really fully understand what God wants us to do next. But some of you are carrying wounds that the enemy wants to keep open. He wants to keep them open. He wants you to continue to hold on to the frustrations of what has happened and what has been. Because the devil knows if he can keep you in that place, he can keep you from stepping into the fullness of who Jesus is and who he wants to be in your life. So then I read another passage in Luke 17, verses 1 through 4. Luke 17, 1 through 4. Then said he unto the disciples, it is impossible but that offenses will come. But woe unto him through whom they come. It would have been better for him that a millstone were hanged about his neck and he be cast into the sea than that he should offend one of these little ones. Take heed to yourselves. If thy brother trespass against thee, rebuke him, and if he repent, forgive him. And if he trespass against thee 7 times in a day, then 7 times in a day turn again to thee, saying, I repent, thou shalt forgive him. Now, how many of you here, if somebody does something against you 7 times in a day, and they come back 7 times in the same day and say, man, sorry about that. I'm really, really sorry. I'm not going to do that anymore. That was one. Number two, hey, man, I'm really sorry I did that. I promise you I'm not going to do this anymore. That's two. Number three, man, I did it again. I am really, really. You see, Jesus is saying, yeah. Yeah. You forgive. Keep forgiving, and you 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 keep on and on and on and on and on and on and on, and you don't stop. See, we don't get that kind of love. Take heed to yourselves if thy brother trespass. The Greek word for trespass is harmatano, and it means to miss the mark and so not share in the prize. So if somebody misses the mark, they are turning away from the potential of a prize that God has available for them. If they trespass against thee, rebuke them. Now see, here's where the church doesn't get it. Here's where the church begins to mess up. Because we say, I love John Doe, I love Jane Doe so much that I can't bring a rebuke to them because it'll ruin my friendship. Listen to me. If you can't lovingly come to someone who you really genuinely care about and you believe that person genuinely cares about you, you're not much of a friend if you can't go to them and say, brother, sister, you're going in a direction that really, truly is going to hurt you. And it's going to hurt this church. And I love you too much. I love you too much. You can't do this. That's a friend. And if a brother trespass against thee, rebuke him. It means to censure, and that means to express severe disapproval or admonishment to him. Friends will do that. How many of you have ever experienced friendships where you knew something was wrong? You knew there was an issue in a person's life. You knew there was stuff going on. You knew it. But you said, I'm not touching that. And what happened? Did the friendship get better? It became shallow. And you knew there are certain things I just can't talk about. So that's off limits. Can't go there. And that friendship became empty and cool. And before long, you began to go separate ways. Verse 1, I'm going to go back to that. It says, it is impossible, but that offenses will come. The word offenses in this verse comes from the Greek word scandalon.
Does that sound familiar?
Anybody have any idea what our English version of that is? Scandal. Scandalous. It is impossible but that offenses will come. And that word scandalon means it is defined as a snare, a trap stick. You know what a trap stick is when you think of it in the context of a snare? It's a bent sapling. When offenses come, it's a trap of the enemy. And any little thing that happens, if we touch it at all, the enemy will spring that trap. All because of an offense. I've had multiple conversations with people here in the church over the last period of 9 weeks now. And there's a word that I heard, Robbie and I heard this word back in North Carolina several years ago. Unoffendable. God is looking for a people that will become unoffendable. He is looking for a people that when somebody comes up and does something that hurts you, love them anyway. Talk to them. Say, I don't understand. Why would you say that? Why would you do that? What do you mean by that? Love them anyway. And wrap your arms around them. Because I'm going to tell you something. Church is going to get hard. You say, wait a minute, preacher. You have no idea. Church has been hard here. God's desire is that we embrace Him to the full and complete degree of who He is so that when the hardness comes, we can say, there is no room for offense in my life, only love and grace and mercy and forgiveness. There are people in this church right now, I could come down and tap you on the shoulder right now. People in this church right now that are offended at me, and I have no idea what I've done. I have no idea what I've done. There are people in this church that are offended at you and you and you and you and you and you, and you're thinking, I don't know what I've done. It's time for us to get over this crap. It's time for us to get over this and say, Jesus, you are bigger than this. You died on a cross to save me and to set me free. And we come to church Sunday after Sunday after Sunday, and we live just like the world does. Just like the world does. God is ready to do amazing things in this ministry. He is ready to do amazing things in this church. He is ready to do amazing things in this body of believers. But He is looking for a group of men and women that would say, no more. I'm not playing these religious games anymore. James 5, verses 9 through 11. Grudge not against one another, brethren, lest ye be condemned. Behold, the judge stands before the door. The word grudge comes from the Greek word stenazo, and it means to groan, to express grief, anger, or frustration. James, through the Holy Spirit, is saying, don't do that. Don't do that. Trust Jesus. Trust Him. Give Him your life. Fully submit to His plans and purposes in your life. James goes on in verse 10, take, my brethren, the prophets who have spoken in the name of the Lord for an example of suffering and affliction and of patience. Behold, we count them happy which endure. Ye have heard of the patience of Job and have seen the end of the Lord, that the Lord is very pitiful and of tender mercy. He goes on, James goes on in verses 13 and 14, and this is talking about prayer for the sick. He said, is any among you afflicted? Let him pray. Is any merry? Let him sing psalms. Is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. Now, do you remember the last communion that we did in 1 Corinthians chapter 11? It talks about Paul is saying, you all are not discerning the body. You're not understanding the body. And he said, for this reason, for this reason that you don't understand the body, there are many sick and sleep. And he's talking about dying. You're dying literally, physically, spiritually. You are dying because you don't discern the body. This is connected to sickness. Are you tracking with me? Because we're not understanding the needs of the body, we're all dying because God has called us to love one another and to support one another and to be there for one another. But we leave here on Sundays and we get so busy with our life, we say, I don't have time for that stuff. I got a schedule to keep. James is saying you're not discerning the body. We all need each other. And because we don't realize how desperately we need each other, the body is dying. See, it's talking about sickness, but if you look at the word afflicted in verse 13, kakopatheo is the Greek word, and it means to undergo hardship, to endure afflictions, or to suffer trouble. It's not just talking about sickness. It's talking about, man, you're going through a rough spot. You're going through a rough spot in life. He said, if you're afflicted, if you're going, if you're in that place where you're going through hardship and you're enduring afflictions and you're suffering trouble, pray. Let's go down to 2 Timothy, chapter 2, verses 3 through 5. Thou therefore endure hardness. Listen, I didn't know this. This is not one of something from my sermon. This isn't a sermon. These are just scriptures. I did not know this until I looked at this scripture. It was the immediate scripture. 2 Timothy 2, verses 3 through 5, was the first scripture that I looked at after I read James 5, verse 13, with the word afflicted, right? Okay? I just talked about the word afflicted. Kakopatheo, all right? I had no idea what I was going to next. 2 Timothy 2, chapter 3 through 5, thou therefore endure hardness. I looked up the word. Guess what the word is? Kakopatheo. He's saying, if you're suffering, if you're afflicted, what you're doing is you're undergoing hardship and you're enduring afflictions. And then he goes on in this different word, different English word, but the same Greek word. He said, thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. I didn't even put Memorial Day. It didn't register with me until just now. Endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. And what Paul was saying is, don't get entangled in all the stuff that's going on around here for the purpose so that you can please the one who ultimately called you into this army. Who's he talking about? He's talking about God. He's talking about our Father. Don't get so wrapped up in all the stuff that's going on that you forget you've got fellow soldiers that are dying all around you. Christians are the only people who shoot their soldiers. Listen, we do this stuff over and over and over and over again. I've seen it my whole life. Yeah, we're fighting next to each other, but I don't like the way you act, so you're collateral damage. I'm giving up on you. I'm moving on. That's what we do. We move on. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick. This is James 5, verse 15 right now. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick. The Greek word for sick is komno, and it means to be weary to the point of sickness, ready to collapse. It's not even actually talking about literal sickness. He said the definition is to the point of sickness. And the prayer of faith will save the person who is so weary they're ready to collapse. And the Lord shall raise him up, and if he have committed sins, they shall be forgiven him. Verse 16, confess. That means to agree fully and confess your faults, unintentional errors, or willful transgressions. Confess your unintentional errors or willful transgressions one to another, and pray one for another that ye may be healed, so that you may be healed. This body, like pretty much every body I've been a part of, needs healing. We need Jesus to heal. Listen, what does it say brings it? What does the one word says brings healing? Confession brings healing. Confess your unintentional errors or willful transgressions to one another. See, this is a piece of cake. We go into our prayer closet and we say, God, I'm really sorry. You know what he says? Hey, you got some people you need to go talk to. You got some people you need to go have a conversation with and make this right with them. But you know what we want to do? We want to be tough guys. That's really an issue for men. Confess your faults one to another and pray for one another so that you may be healed. Do you see the correlation between healing and confession? But again, it's not just confession to God. It's confess your faults one to another. So I'm going to stop right here. Is there anyone in this place that would say, you know what, I've been carrying stuff, Doug. I've been carrying stuff. And only you and God know what's appropriate for you to say. But this is an opportunity for you to say, you know what? I want to confess. And I want to ask this church to forgive me. And I want to be a part of God bringing healing to this body. Anybody? Anything else? Anyone else? I'm going to read a couple more scriptures. We're going to pray. James 5:17, it says, Elias, referring to Elijah, was a man subject to like passions as we are. And he prayed earnestly that it might not rain, and it rained not on the earth by the space of 3 years and 6 months. And he prayed again, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth brought forth her fruit. That's kind of the middle portion of these last couple of verses that I want to read. And I read verse 16 earlier. Confess your faults, your intentional error, willful transgressions one to another, and pray one for another that ye may be healed. Now again, this is a biblical directive, and I believe there are times that we don't intentionally create those chances to do that. And I pray that in the weeks and months ahead, that when we begin doing more small group opportunities, that we'll build relationships and we'll just be able to be honest and say, man, Doug, Trevor, Troy, whoever it might be, I'm struggling with this thing in my life. And I heard you guys when you were willing to say, I'm struggling. And I want you guys to forgive me. And I know that the church supported you. And so because of your willingness to do that, that helped me, and that gave me the strength that I can now talk about some things that I'm struggling with. So again, this is James saying, confess your faults and your unintentional errors or willful transgressions one to another, and pray one for another that ye may be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. And I'll skip down to verse 19. Again, this is still James 5:19. Brethren, if any of you do err from the truth, and one convert him, let him know that he which converteth the sinner from the error of his way shall save a soul from death and shall hide a multitude of sins. Now, I really struggle. God, do you really want me to talk about this last thing today? And I believe I'm supposed to. Brethren, if any of you do err, and that word is the Greek word planeo, and it means if any of you roams from safety or roams from the truth or virtue or wanders out of the way. Now listen to that. If you err, that means to roam from safety. That means to walk out of that place of safety and refuge that we have in Christ. Okay? If you wander from the truth and one convert him, let him know that he which converteth the sinner from the error of his way shall save a soul from death and shall hide a multitude of sins. Do you really understand what this is saying here? James is talking to brothers in Christ, right? He's saying brethren. He's talking to his fellow brothers and sisters in Christ. If you err, if you roam from safety, and the person, and that there's another person who goes and gets that person who has roamed from safety, the person who goes and gets him is the one that James says converts that man. Do you know what that Greek word is? Epistrepho. And it means to revert, to come again, to reconvert, or return. Not turn, return. So what's James talking about here? You can have prayed the sinner's prayer. And if you say, forget this, I'm wandering from this safety, I'm going over here and I'm going to do my own thing. You may still come to church every single Sunday. But if you err from the truth, if you walk away from that place of safety, we were talking about it in 9/11 class this morning, God is a shield. And I had John stand up. I said, John, imagine that I've got this shield here. I said, what is required in order for you to have protection? He's standing off to the side. I said, the arrows are coming. And I got the shield. I said, where are you standing? Oh, all of a sudden he got real close. If you want to benefit from the shield of protection of God, you got to get close to him, guys. You got to get close. You can't say, yeah, there's God over there with a shield, but I'm going to stay over here and I'm going to do my own thing. So this is saying here, listen, look it up. Don't take my word for this. Go dig into this scripture. He which converteth the sinner from the error of his way shall save a soul from death. And that word convert means to revert, to come again. So if you convert somebody who had that relationship with God and they walked away, to convert means to bring them back. To bring them back into that place of safety and closeness with the Lord. I can't tell you how much I did not want to do this today. I can't even begin to convey to you how much I did not. I tried so hard. I tried 8 different times to avoid doing this today. There's no way I can begin to tell you how much Jesus loves you. And I can't begin to convey how much my wife and I and our family love you. I would rather do anything than be responsible for an offense. I hope you didn't call us here just to be safe and be a club leader. I don't want to be a club leader. I can't be a club leader. I can't. Heaven and hell are two very, very real places. Early on in the process, people were asking me, man, how do you feel about the homosexual, the gay and lesbian agenda? How do you feel about, you know, these cultural deviations away from the Word of God? Anything that's in this book that God says is a sin, it's a sin. Anything. But I think that we've fallen into a trap in our religious context that we've categorized some things as being really, really bad while we're still passing judgment, and we have critical spirits, and we gossip, and we're jealous, and we're envious, and we convince ourselves that that's okay. It's not. It's just not. And I know full well there could be people that get up out of here today and leave, and they don't come back. And I hope that doesn't happen. I hope that that does not happen because I believe God wants to show up here. I believe He wants to do amazing things in this church. But He's not going to do it according to my program, and He's not going to do it according to yours. We're going to fully submit to the Word of God, or we will, in effect, hold Him at bay. I really, truly do love you all. And I would ask you, if there's someone that you have an issue with in this church, the Bible is very, very clear. If someone has offended you, and read Matthew 18, if someone has offended you, what does it say to do? Go to them. Pay attention. It doesn't say the person who offended you needs to go to you. That's what we do in our culture. If somebody offended me, they need to come to me and apologize. And that would be great. I think Jesus would be pleased with that. But for whatever reason, the Bible says if someone offends you, you go to the person who offended you. And it says if they hear you, you've won back a brother. But if they don't, you need to go with witnesses. And if they still don't, you need to take it to the church body. And so my prayer is that if someone here is offended, you need to go to the person that offended you. And you need to talk to them, and you need to find out what's going on. What's the purpose? Restoration. That's the purpose. Restoration. That relationships can be healed. That's the purpose. That's what God wants. He wants us healed. He wants us delivered. He wants us set free. On this Memorial Day weekend, He wants us to be set free. Please do that. Please do that. My desire is that God will just pour Himself out on this place in really, really amazing ways. I'd like to ask the worship team to come forward again, if they would. If I have offended you, would you please come to me? If I have offended you, I can promise you if I did, I didn't know it. But I need you to come to me because I cannot be an effective pastor if I've offended you and I don't know what I need to do to make right in your life. Do you want this body to be healthy and whole? Do you? Do you want this body to be healthy and whole? Man, I do, and the level to the degree that I do, it pales in comparison to how much Jesus wants this body to be whole. So if you've got something, anything at all that's bothering you and this gnawing uneasiness and your anger and you're bugged at me or you're bugged at somebody, you're bugged at Trevor. If you're bugged at Trevor, don't come to me. Go to Trevor. If you're bugged at Trevor, don't you dare go to, if you're bugged at me, don't you dare go to Trevor. You come to me. And if I don't handle myself right, then Trevor and I will sit down together and you can talk about what's going on. So Trevor, he may look at me and say, Doug, they're right and you're wrong. I've had multiple conversations with him and I've told him, if I'm doing something, Trevor, that does not bring honor to God, or it's hurtful to you, or if it's hurtful to the church, you come to me. Come to me. Because I'm going to stand before Jesus someday and I'm going to be called to give an account for the life that I've lived. And he will be a lousy friend if he doesn't tell me about it. I don't want to find out then. I want to find out now. Amen? Amen? Let's stand.